It's a pleasure to bring in Susan Slusser, who covers the Giants for the Chronicle. Susan, how are you?
I'm great. How are you doing, Marty?
Very well, very well. Quite a night last night, as I said in the open. One eye on the Warriors, one eye on this game, and it all worked out.
Yeah, really, really excellent day for Bay Area sports. Really fun, all kind of happening at the same time. But, you know, Warriors in the finals, beating the Celtics, and then the Giants beating the Dodgers in a really, you know, very strange but very interesting game. You know, so many injuries for the Giants. And, you know, they just kind of weathered the storm and kept going and held off the Dodgers for their first win against L.A. this year.
Yeah, the bullpen, you know, and I say it all the time. I don't know how they can do three or four innings just about every night. But there was one stat I said today, when they lead after six, I think they're 24-1. So they have the guys who can bring it home when they get the lead late.
Absolutely, yeah. You know, every bullpen goes through, you know, sort of ups and downs. But this, we know the track record of these guys. And by and large, people only remember when guys give it up. But day after day, for the most part, this bullpen has been so solid. I think most teams would be thrilled to have a bullpen with this much experience, this much versatility, you know, so many different looks in that bullpen, and several guys who can finish games. So that's those are very, very, you know, it's really a strength of the team, is this bullpen.
Yeah, it really is, and they get the job done. As I say, you give them a lead after six innings, and they can figure it out. Well, the injury, you alluded to the injuries last night, how weird Junis with the hamstring and Longoria, he's got it. Any updates or thoughts about that?
Well, you know, anytime you hear hamstring strain, it always means an IL stint. I think the Giants will be lucky if it's a minimal IL stint, and they're actually fairly well set up to handle that. You know, depending on how many innings, say, Sam Leung throws today, he could probably come back in 4 days, which is the next time they would need that spot. Alex Cobb is supposed to be coming off the IL a week from tomorrow. Anthony DeSclafani might not be very far behind that. So they have guys sort of come in. They've got reinforcements if all things go to plan. We know things don't always go to plan in baseball, so no guarantees there. But I would think that the Giants' best bet is a minimal IL stay for Jacob Junis. Such a shame, you know, the very end of an outing. Weird, just sort of, you know, his leg collapsed, hamstring strain, and he was feeling a little better after the game, but, yeah, that's not good. Now, Evan Longoria, also a hamstring thing, but at tightness. And he's such an experienced guy. He knows his body so well at this point. He thinks it's day-to-day. I've got to think, you know, we'll go with Dr. Longoria's report on that.
Right, okay. All right, Susan Slusser with us. Always a pleasure. I said on the show, Sammy Leung, let him pitch. You know, other than the third of an inning against the Dodgers when they whacked him around a little bit, he's been terrific. Let him go four or five innings if he can. I say let him get stretched out.
What do you do then when the next time comes up in the rotation where they need somebody? You know, they hold him for three innings like they did 4 days ago. Maybe he could come back in 4 days, which might be more what they need. But you're right. You know, if he's efficient, hey, maybe they get four innings. Maybe they get five. Maybe he can come back. He has certainly shown that he's resilient. But I, you know, another bullpen game without Sam Leung might be a little much to ask. They might have to do something like bring up Sean Jelly, which is, you know, obviously that's certainly a fine option also.
Well, today's Saturday, so you give him Sunday, Monday, Tuesday.
And
Kansas
Wednesday's
City.
The next time. Yeah, that Wednesday's the next time they would need that spot.
Come on, you've seen Kansas City. You know it. You know, right?
There are no pushovers in Major League Baseball, Marty.
All right. What about the A's? Have lost 10 in a row. How about that?
Yeah. These are not two of the major's best teams, but you know, any given day, et cetera.
I know. Well, as I say, these things work out, as you say, too. So we'll see. But I like Sammy Leung. I like what he brings to the table. Maybe it's three or four innings. That's the way they have to use him. Hey, today is Pride Night at the ballpark, a very special day in San Francisco and, of course, at the ballpark. Tell us about it.
Yeah, it's wonderful. The Giants have been out in the forefront in, you know, recognizing their local LGBTQ+ community, going all the way back to 94 when they were the first pro sports team to have an HIV AIDS Awareness Day. That was huge. That was huge in the world of sports at that point. And you know what? We're still not totally there. The Texas Rangers still do not have a Pride Night. I lived in Dallas. I covered the Rangers for 2 years. There is a thriving gay community in Dallas. I lived in that neighborhood. I am stunned that they have not gotten on board with recognizing, you know, part of their fan base. And what this is about, you know, we saw some of the Rays players decide not to participate in their Pride Day and not wear the patch that the Rays had for their Pride Night. And, you know, they were talking about religious beliefs and not trying to encourage a lifestyle. People are absolutely entitled, of course, to their own religious beliefs. But this is not about I'm endorsing anything. I am a member of this community. This is about welcoming everyone. You don't see anyone refusing to wear the camouflage on military days. You don't see anyone refusing to wear the Jackie Robinson Day jersey. These are things celebrating everyone, celebrating baseball's history, celebrating your various community, and making all of your fan base feel like baseball is for everyone, because it is. Baseball is for everybody, and that's what Pride Day is about. There are still there's still a lot of prejudice and hatred towards members of the gay community. I learned that last year when I wrote a story about the Giants incorporating the Pride colors into their logo last year, and I got some absolutely hateful email about it. So, yeah, these things are still absolutely necessary. And, you know, people go like, oh, why doesn't everybody get a day? Yeah, lots of people get days at the ballpark. We got Italian-American days. We've got Mexican-American days. We got all sorts of days, you know, celebrating all members of the community, which is wonderful. I would love to see every day at the ballpark celebrating part of a community.
Beautifully said, Susan. Beautifully said, as always. Anytime I think about Pride Day and things like that, I think of Glenn Burke, former Athletic and Dodger. What about his story? Maybe you could just touch on that for a second.
Oh, such an important figure in the Bay Area, in baseball history, and in for gay athletes of all stripes, because he was the first and really only out gay baseball player during his career, and he faced an awful lot of prejudice for that. He had managers, including one from his very own high school, who were adamantly opposed to him and didn't want to play him because he was gay. And you know what? I know a lot of players who played with him, and they loved Glenn Burke. Certainly Dusty Baker, we all know they invented the high five. I mean, come on, that's so great. Dusty speaks so highly of him. My friend Larry Corrigan, who I know you know, Marty, the longtime scout for the Minnesota Twins, he played with Glenn Burke, one of his all-time favorite guys. He was very accepted by his teammates and people who knew him. It was sort of the older guard that really he ran into trouble with, and that's really a shame. But, you know, he went on and participated in so many gay games and was just a big figure in the San Francisco gay athletic community. And local guy, Berkeley, played for the A's. Not enough. Mm. I wish he had played longer and played more. But, you know, I think the prejudice kind of that played a role in his a little bit of a shorter and less probably a less illustrious actual career on the field.
Well, I'm glad we can mention Glenn Burke today. The other one is I have an interview coming up with Dale Scott, who is openly gay, and he's got his book, The Umpire, is out. He's signing today at the ballpark. And we're going to talk with Dale Scott just in about an hour from now.
That's wonderful. That's great. I mean, you know, umpires have it rough anyway, right? Fans, they're often the target of fans. People only ever see them in a negative light because a good umpire, you don't notice them when they're doing their job. So you add on to something like that, onto that. That is a tough road to hoe. You know, it's really, I could absolutely commend Dale Scott for coming out and for talking about his experiences. I think it's great for everyone. We know there are gay players in every sport who have not come out. I really hope that at some point there are some gay players or coaching staff members or whatever who feel comfortable enough to be themselves, because it's the carrying the secret that is a burden. It really is. And nobody should have to feel like they have to keep their life secret.
Beautiful. Susan, always a pleasure to have you on. Let's talk a little baseball before you got to run into the clubhouse here. Good storylines last night. How about Jack Peterson?
Yeah, that's fun. You know, would you ever, I see anyone walked intentionally in front of Jock Peterson, I almost start to write down, you know, base hit or home run or something for Jock, because you know he's going to come through. He's just, you know, even if it's not the best matchup, even if it's a left-hander, it's this is a guy who knows what he's doing. He's an elite hitter, and he's not going to try to do too much. He's been in every possible situation in huge moments. And his track record shows he's going to come through more often than not. He is not a guy I would put somebody on base intentionally in front of. I don't think the numbers are probably very good on that.
No, not even Tony La Russa would do that. We'll talk about Tony later in the show. We won't bother you with him. But he did order an intentional walk at a 1-2 count, and then Max Muncy hit it out. But that's a story for another day. Joey Bart, what was your take on that? And, of course, Austin Wins. Come on, the guy comes in, gets a couple of hits, and he muffed one ball, but he threw someone out. And I want to tell you something about Wins. He looks very comfortable behind the plate. He looks like he's been there before.
He does. And you know what? I'll tell you, the thing that really impressed me is that he got to work immediately. He's got to learn a whole pitching staff, right? And he shows up and they're like, hey, you're catching Logan Webb tomorrow. He went and watched each of Logan Webb's last four starts before that. And then he really grilled Logan about what he likes to do in different situations and what he uses. And, you know, Logan Webb told us afterwards, I felt like he knew more what I wanted to do than I know. That's absolutely what you want to hear him. So, I love hearing that. He is going to put in the work. He's got some, you know, this is not a young guy. He's 31. He's been around. He's played in the big leagues. I think a nice pickup. He seems to have figured out some things offensively. You know, I talked to a scout who said, well, he's always been kind of light in the bat. He's not going to be a force, I don't think, offensively. But I think he might be better than people expect, because I do think he's figured some things out. And he looks like he feels pretty comfortable. So not a bad stopgap as they try to get Joey Bart right. And I think Joey Bart will figure things out. It looked like things were really just starting to weigh on him and snowball. And I think the mental break and all the work that the Giants staff are doing with him before he goes to Sacramento, I think that's the place to work on those things. And I think he will figure it out.
Yeah, we'll see. But Wins behind the plate, I'm telling you, the guy looks like he's very smooth and the glove doesn't move much. I was impressed with him. And he did go the other way for a single. And he does have a good eye. So we'll see. Is he in there today? Have you seen the lineup?
I have not seen the lineup. I am not in the clubhouse yet, Marty.
That's right. Well, you got another minute and a half. Okay. I hope he's in there today. I'd like to see him. But the Giants picked up Shelby Miller. Remember Shelby Miller, 31 years old? They've got him in Sacramento now. I guess they have to worry about right-handed starting pitching if there's trouble.
Yeah, they have to worry about starting pitching, period. You know, they've been losing guys left and right. You know, the number of starting pitching injuries has been extreme. As I mentioned earlier, they're getting some guys back here, which is great. But, you know, you just can't count on full health for a rotation all year. Nobody ever has it. Stockpiling pitching is always good.
I love it. All right, one last thing for you very quickly, 30 seconds. Duvall, he looks like he's turned the corner. He looks much better.
Yeah, I think so. He, you know, we're kind of going back to what I said earlier about the bullpen. There's always ebbs and flows for each of them, and I think maybe he's kind of figured a few things out. But I also just think that, you know, he's been used in so many different situations. I think he's finally getting comfortable with coming in. You know, maybe earlier that was a tough one for him once, and you know, obviously he's getting used to coming in late. He's so young. It's really more just getting the experience of doing everything, which is what they've got him doing.
Yeah, I like it. All right, Susan, I got you off exactly 12:35. All right. Have a great
– All right, thanks, Marty.
We love having you on. Have a great afternoon, and I appreciate your words today about Pride Night. Very important, Susan. Thanks so much.
Absolutely is. Thanks, Marty. Bye.
All right. That's Susan Slesser, who follows the Giants for the Chronicle. More coming up, KNBR 680. 104.5, the sports leader.